Matthew chapter 13 is quite a significant place in Matthew's gospel because it's the point at which Jesus moves from teaching the religious types in the synagogue to moving out of the synagogue to talk to people who've never been to church in their lives, the non-religious types. In fact, much of this was spoken on a seashore. So Jesus' mission now is enlarging from the church all the way out, really, or the synagogue as it was then. And he spoke in parables. There are a number of different stories in Matthew chapter 13. They're all parables. So what is a parable? Well, it's something that makes truth concrete. Truth, ideas, sometimes can feel a bit abstract, can't they? But Jesus was a master of using pictures, starting where people were at, helping them to understand something they didn't yet understand by starting with something they did understand. So everybody understood agriculture, farming, because most people were farmers. And everybody understood what you grew, and everybody understood the kitchen, because kitchens were important places, the center of the home, because that's where you cooked what you grew. So most of Jesus' parables were based upon agriculture, farming, or the kitchen, or in the home. Start with where somebody knows and understands and moves to another place to help them to understand something different. The mustard plant. Does anybody ever grown a mustard plant? No? I used to. Okay, how big was it, David? Yeah. How big were you? Very tall. Yay big? Okay. Yeah, you know, Mustard and Cress used to do those experiments at school, didn't you, with the little bits of tissue paper and everything, yeah? And they'd get, you know, yay big, and then you cut them off and put them on in your egg sandwich, wouldn't you? Okay, you're going to have to think bigger than that. We're talking about a mustard tree, okay? I've got a picture on the screen, which isn't going to work because you can't see it, but you'll see it later. Okay, so imagine a tree that is about 10 foot tall, right? That has grown from a tiny, tiny, tiny little seed. Or imagine whoever it was decided to plant a chestnut seed by the gate of our church. I want to know who that was. And whether they'd like to fix the wall. But tiny, tiny little thing. And now we have this incredible tree which has become much loved. And is you know, such an established thing. You're getting the idea. Tiny seed to a large tree. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven starts with the smallest beginnings. Small beginnings, like once upon a time, a man called William Wilberforce was having tea with the Prime Minister, who was Mr. Pitt. And Mr. Pitt turned to William Wilberforce and said, "Why don't you present a bill giving notice on the slave trade?" Well, 35 years later, the slave trade was abolished through the efforts of that man and that one little conversation. Or take the Arab Spring. There was fermenting unrest in Tunisia, but the key turning point was a pretty dramatic event. The catalyst was a man called Mohamed Bouazizi. Now, sadly, he set himself on fire because he had been unable to sell his fruit at a roadside stand. He'd been taken away by the police, and in protest at this, he set himself on fire in the middle of a square. And that had a huge impact on creating the Arab Spring. Or take a monk called Telemachus. He was led by God to leave the desert and to go to Rome. And when he went to Rome, he saw the games, the gladiatorial conquests. And he was so shocked by these games that when he was there watching them, he climbed over and got into the middle of the games, the story goes. And he tried to stop two of the gladiators from fighting. Now, those people who paid good money to go to the gladiatorial games didn't like this very much, and he was stoned to death in the middle of the arena. But then suddenly there was a hush, we're told in the accounts. Something had changed in people's attitude to that kind of entertainment. They realized a holy man had been killed. and the emperor Honorius, was so impressed by his martyrdom that within 5 years there were no more gladiatorial games at all across the Roman Empire. Do you ever despair that the tiny little thing you're trying to do to make a difference, to bring in God's kingdom, is just not having any impact? We're simply called to be faithful, aren't we? To plant a little seed, maybe in the knowledge that will never come to fruition in our lifetime. It's absolutely the case that that tree didn't look anything like it does now in the lifetime of whoever planted it. That didn't stop them planting the seed and looking at it and nurturing it and watering it and hoping and wondering what it would look like in a few years' time. So I wonder what you're involved with that is being nurtured by yourself, that's being watered by yourself, that is going to be a blessing to people in the future. Perhaps it's investing in your family. Perhaps it's keeping going in a difficult situation at work. Perhaps it's caring for an elderly relative. Whatever is on your front line. Do you remember many of us were thinking about what our front line might look like? It's worth pursuing and persevering. And then you get the leaven, this illustration of the yeast. Well, in the original language, it's leaven, because what people used to do is that they would actually make a big batch of dough with yeast in it. And you know, yeast is the ingredient that makes the dough rise. And they'd take a little bit off to one side and they'd keep that and then they'd use it again so that they almost transferred on, because they'd keep this little bit that was fermenting to help them to create the next loaf the next day. And people made bread every day, didn't they? They made a loaf a day. Well, unleavened bread is just like a biscuit, isn't it? Have you ever tried unleavened bread? Add yeast and it becomes soft and porous and spongy. The kingdom of God is a bit like this. Without yeast, without the kingdom working, life is just a bit thin, isn't it? A bit flat, a bit dry. With God at work, incredible things can happen. In Jesus' day, the incredible things included completely turning the attitude of society to women, to the weak and to the ill, for the aged, for children. And that over time, over the centuries, led Christians to be passionately involved in changes to society, like William Wilberforce. Or like those people who work tirelessly to want to educate children who never had the chance to go to school. Or those people who worked to build and pay for community hospitals in villages and towns. A final thought about the leaven or the yeast. Is it seen or unseen what's going on there? On the one hand, you can't see what's going on with yeast. It's unseen. And that reminds all of us that actually we need to keep going, even if the efforts of what we're trying to do are relatively unseen. We don't get a big reward for it, maybe. Maybe the person you're caring for, reaching out to, is a very difficult individual and they don't say thank you. Keep going with it. But on the other hand, things are plainly seen, aren't they? Think about the transformation in your own life since you got to know God. Even if that's just been small, I'm sure it's been a difference. It is different. Christianity is at times quite disruptive. It can be disruptive in our own lives. God can ask us to do things that we might not want to do. Jesus, he wasn't unseen, was he? He was quite disruptive. He was quite challenging. And that's what got him killed. And many Christians have been killed or being imprisoned today because they are visibly, not in an unseen way, but visibly standing up to violence and to hatred. Or perhaps we don't need to choose. this whole thing about unseen and unseen, because both are true. The kingdom spirit is working silently and underground all the time. We probably don't even notice some of the time what he's doing in our lives. But he's like a great river, I think, which at times might glide under the ground, at other times breaks over into the surface, and you can really see it. And we should expect both things, unseen and obvious, together in the world and in our lives. Amen.